Hello, friends, and welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This week's show is very thrilling. For the last 8 years, we on the left have had very little to celebrate. And in 2 days, George and Dick will finally be vacating our White House. The White House, the Oval Office that they have been infesting for the past 8 years. We won't have to be assaulted on a regular basis by Dick snarling and George's smirking. Who listening to this show won't be relieved to not have to see the lizard face of Condi Rice or the frightening faces of Hank Paulson or Michael Chertoff? We are calling today's show our farewell celebration to the nation, and we'll be chatting with truthout.org commentator William Rivers Pitt, fabulous guitarist and justice advocate Rage Against the Machine's Tom Morello, and hilarious comedian and a woman starting her own talk show on Wednesdays at KPFK in Los Angeles, Roseanne Barr. This is Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to Green 960. And after the break, we'll be back to chat with William Rivers Pitt.
The Cindy Sheehan Soapbox has a simple philosophy. We don't want our show owned, sponsored, or beholden to any corporate bastards. Don't get us wrong. Not all large companies and businesses are evil imperialists. But let's get real. Conscious companies are hard to come by. Sobered by the challenges facing independent media and inspired by the massive support for our No Corporate Bastards policy, we are launching our 1,000 Soapbox Sponsors campaign to sign up 1,000 monthly supporters by the end of January. We are asking you, the listeners, activists and grassroots organizers that make up our base, to donate $5, $10, or $20 a month to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox not only on the air, but also innovative and powerful. Donating $5 a month, the price of a trip to a coffee shop in most cities, will provide not only the peace of mind that Cindy's Soapbox will stick around for years to come, but will also make you a subscriber for as long as your monthly donation continues. Furthermore, we will print the list of monthly sustainers on our website, unless you don't want to be identified, as a thank you to all of our supporters. Go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com to sign up now with our automatic monthly donation option. We are committed to producing a high-quality radio show and website that works as a tool to keep you informed and promote social and economic justice. Become a monthly Soapbox sponsor and help make it happen. We are neither owned nor funded by big conglomerates or advertisers. That's why we need your support to sustain our efforts. Please donate now at cindysheehansoapbox.com and consider becoming a monthly sponsor to help us secure our financing into the future. Power to the people.
Hey, listeners, we're coming up on a very joyful occasion. We haven't had very many of those over the last 8 years. On January 20th, I'm not so excited about Obama being inaugurated, but what I am excited about is that George Bush will be finally getting out of our Oval Office, which he has been infesting for the last 8 years. Him and Dick Cheney are the most unpopular administration in U.S. history. I think in the history of presidents around the world, George Bush and Dick Cheney will definitely go down in infamy. We have been trying to get him out of office before now, but as he's finally leaving, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox will be celebrating, and we're calling it a farewell celebration for the nation. We're holding it Sunday, January 18th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Knapp's Bar at 3152 Mission. We're going to have games. We're going to celebrate and dance and sing and drink and toast the start of a new era that doesn't have George Bush and Dick Cheney. We'll have music. We'll have entertainment. We'll just have fun for once. So please join us. Go to CindySheehansSoapbox.com. For more information, I'll be there, I'll be celebrating, and I hope you join us. It's a celebration.
Celebrate good times. Come on. 8 years, 8 years, 8 years. People think it's coming to an end and it's going somewhere new. It's only going to go somewhere new if we make that happen. The world can't wait. End the torture, end the wars, end the spying. Demand it all now. Repeal the Military Commissions Act. Bush is leaving, but the Bush program is with us until we turn it all around and put something else in its place. Yeah.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening to Green 960. As promised, our first guest today on our farewell celebration for the nation is William Rivers Pitt. Will Pitt is a New York Times and internationally best-selling author of two books, War on Iraq, What Team Bush Doesn't Want You to Know, and The Greatest Sedition is Silence. His newest book, House of Ill Repute, Reflections on War, Lies, and America's Ravaged Reputation, is now available from Polly Point Press. Will's not only an amazing writer, but he oftentimes channels his words through his heart. He is also a good friend of mine and my exclusive drinking buddy whenever I'm in Boston. Will, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. And how's the gang over at Bukowski's?
Thank you for having me on. It's a privilege.
And how's the gang over at Bukowski's?
Oh, it's always the same. Nothing ever changes over there.
Well, tell everybody I said hi, and I hope I can get there soon.
Of course I will. How you doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good over here. You know, we still think that even though we have a new administration coming in, we can't give up. We have to keep the pressure on. But we asked you to be on the show today because you have written extensively about the Bush regime. You've written extensively about activism, and your pieces, all, like I said in my introduction, are always filled with heart. But your last piece on truthout.org, titled The Greatest Greatness of George Bush, you ended the piece by saying, "May you live forever, you son of a bitch." And, you know, I certainly understand the son of a bitch part, and probably most of my listeners understand that part, too. But please tell our audience what you meant by wishing that George lives forever.
Because we need him. Because we are going to need to remember him. There are a lot of people walking around right now who would very dearly love it if we all forgot that George ever happened. The media guys would love it if we forgot that George ever happened, because then we'd forget how much the media guys helped him. The guys making money off of all the wars would like us to forget them so that they can keep on doing that. The Republican Party would dearly love us to forget them so that they don't, you know, completely finish falling apart. We need him to live forever as the tallest of all possible warnings that this can happen. It has happened. And if we're not very careful, it will happen again. I mean, I hate to break that. I know that the inauguration is 2 days away, and there are lots of people who work very hard and are going to, you know, celebrate like wild banshees. But the fact of the matter is, we haven't won a damn thing. We haven't won anything.
Right.
We've won the opportunity to maybe move the pile a little bit. And if these guys aren't as bad as George W. Bush and the rest of his crew, there are going to be plenty of occasions where they're knocking on the door, because that's, unfortunately, how things are. As I see it, we got to win 10 more of these elections over the course of the next 40 years to begin to make a dent, fixing everything that needs fixing. And in the meantime, walking around thinking that we've actually won something is an easy ticket to getting our butts kicked all over again.
Well, absolutely. And the correlation I always make is that we forgot how horrible Richard Nixon was, and we forgot really the faces of the 60,000 Americans who were killed, and we never really knew the faces of the millions of Vietnamese people that were killed. And so how many years later has it been? 30 years later, we got George Bush, and we got another illegal and immoral war, and my son was killed for it. And certainly I'm never going to forget George Bush and Dick Cheney and what they've done to the nation, but it's going to be up to people like you and I to make sure that the rest of America never forgets, so
yes,
we can heal this nation.
To get past the cautionary sort of like, well, it really wasn't that bad. You know, Richard Perle comes out a couple of weeks ago and tries to make the argument that he and his fellow neocons weren't really all that involved in the run-up to Iraq. You know, they didn't have all that much to do with it. It wasn't really them. It was some other guys. The media guys are trying to smooth over their own particular role in this thing. My favorite little media trick, and this was years ago, that was a couple of 3 years after the war started, where it was, everybody knows they have weapons of mass destruction over there. And then without doing any kind of soul-searching or self-investigation or calling to account the reporting that they did, it was like flipping a light switch, and then it was, well, everybody knows that that wasn't true.
Right,
really.
Right.
These are the kind of things that we are going to have to pay. You know, this is, you know, it's teach your children time, you know. And we're going to have to, I'll tell you something, and this is one of the rare bright spots coming out of all of this, is that Mr. Obama and his crew of merry men and women better have themselves wired as tight as ticks, because what we have on the left and within the progressive liberal world are some seriously organized and motivated people. And to a certain degree, we've got a bunch of anger junkies, you know,
right.
who are absolutely willing to go to war to the knife over what they believe in. And they're a lot better at it than they used to be. We're a lot more organized. We are not quite so scattershot and loopy as we used to be in terms of, you know, what's the issue of the week I'm going to get outraged about. People have learned how to dig in, stay focused, and move the pile. And it is a much different left. It is a much different base of the Democratic Party. It is a much different progressive party. It is a much different world than any Democrat has ever stepped into office to before. And they better be ready for the ram, because if not, they're going to get it.
Well, one of the top issues on change.gov is that Obama appoint a special prosecutor for George Bush. So, I mean, I feel you're right. I feel like we are wide awake, and hopefully we stay wide awake. But I was reading the comments on the article on Truth Out, and some people accused you of being bitter. Do you think this is about bitterness for you, Will?
I am the most optimistic person in the world. I'm a little salty. There's no doubt about it. It's been a long 8 years. I don't have to tell you that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anger is good. Bitter is good. It's a motivator. You know, you stop being angry and then, you know, you go back to bed. I mean, there are plenty of things to be outraged about. There will be going forward. We're not leaving Iraq anytime soon. We're going to get bigger in Afghanistan if these guys have their say. Robert Gates is staying where he's staying. And there are plenty of things that we really need as a group and individually. You know, this is a promise that we have to keep. The greatest greatness of George W. Bush is how he and his people showed us exactly how fragile this whole thing is. We are responsible for ourselves. We are our brother's keepers and our sister's keepers. And if we simply say, well, he's over with, so that means everything is okay, we might as well throw ourselves into traffic, because it will happen again.
We're fooling ourselves.
Yeah, well, it's really easy to, you can talk yourself into fooling yourself. There are a lot of people who are exhausted after all this, after all the work that's had to get done. I'm sure you are. Last time I saw you, you were dead on your feet. You know,
right.
I'm exhausted. A lot of people are exhausted. You know, take a nap, drink a Coke, get up, and get going again, because Barack Obama is entering the presidency as the most powerful president in the history of the universe. You know, if the U.S. attorney's scandal the litigation that's moving through the court system right now finishes up and winds up in front of the Supreme Court, and they uphold the Bush doctrine, i.e. screw you and your subpoenas,
right.
It's the entity separation of powers, and it is the establishment of the kind of imperial presidency that would have made Richard Nixon blush. So we're dealing with a guy, I mean, he's wonderful, he's great, he's a nice guy, he's a great speaker. I have never met a politician willing to give up power that's been handed to him.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Will. And we're going to have to end on that, and we hope that you come back on the show again soon. Can you tell our listeners where we can read your great articles and keep in touch with you?
I write on the website truthout.org, and at least once or twice or five times a day, I'm getting in fights with people on the marvelous website democraticunderground.com.
Well, happy Truth New Out. Year to you, and I hope to see you soon, Will.
Happy New Year to you, and all the best to you.
Okay.
And we'll be in touch.
All right. Love to you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is David Swanson. George, I want to say goodbye to you. Never more than at this moment, George, have you been a uniter, not a divider. The joy at your departure is worldwide and wonderful, but I don't want to fully embrace it, because I don't want this to be the last we see of you. When I was 4 years old, I watched Richard Nixon leave, and that was just about the last we saw of him, and that is what brought us you. Instead, we should have had monthly reports of regret and repentance from Nixon's prison cell for 20 years. You yourself may have longer than 20 years to live, although with your boss, we may have to hurry or invest in a heart transplant. My strongest wish, George, is to give you and Dick and Rummy and Condi and you and Bybee and all the gang what you have denied to so many others, a fair trial. Your stupid smirk and Cheney's nasty grimace will thankfully no longer be omnipresent, but the damage you have done will be much harder to remove. And if we do not punish you for it, it may be repeated and never undone. I wish you no ill. If letting you go drink and golf would impose a democratic rule of law on future officials, then that is what I would favor. As it happens, of course, that would only encourage people as mean and destructive as your brother Jeb. Although not specifically Jeb, of course, since nobody with your last name will be able to win an election in this country for 50 years. If you pretend to pardon the people who committed your crimes for you, we will challenge that absurdity in court. And we will pursue state, local, civil, foreign, and international prosecutions until you are behind bars. Washington, D.C. is going to look something like a colder version of New Orleans before you drowned it this month, as millions of people get drunk on the delirium of seeing you drag your contemptible carcass out of town. Two events I plan to take part in illustrate the mood. On January 19th, we're going to gather in DuPont Circle, march to the White House, and throw shoes and boots at you. Check out shoebush.org to see what we have planned. On January 20th, we have a permit for an Arrest Bush demonstration on the sidewalk in front of the FBI building along President-to-be Obama's inauguration parade route. We're going to be sending a clear message to your successor. Take a look at arrestbush2009.com. Arrestbush2009.com to see what's planned. And we have created nice, warm sweatshirts that say Arrest Bush and Cheney. People can go to my website, afterdowningstreet.org, to buy them. We'll be dressing for success, George, but without the flight suit, the aircraft carrier, or the bullshit. You've lied to us for 8 years, so the truth may not catch your attention, but this is the truth. We will not rest until you are convicted and incarcerated. Goodbye, George.
Bye-bye, Bush. I hope you drop dead.
Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye.
Bye-bye, George. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening to Green 960. My next guest is another good friend of mine and of Peace and Justice, Tom Morello. Tom is not only the best guitar player that I have ever had the pleasure to behold, but he is also a lifelong social justice activist. And now that I know his mom a little better, I know why he is a social justice activist. His music, particularly with Rage Against the Machine, and his solo act, The Night Watchman, they're revolutionary, social aware, and very smart. Tom has worked with Michael Moore to defeat George Bush and with anti-war groups like Iraq Vets Against the War, and he supported my campaign for Congress here in San Francisco. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Cindy. How are you?
Oh, it's great to have you, and I hope that we can have these conversations a lot because I know you're very aware on a lot of different issues. And so thanks for coming on today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
And, you know, it seems like in the last 8 years, you know, to us who care about humans and about peace, we've lost a lot of ground. You know, we're in two wars. We have given up our civil liberties in the phony war on terror. Not all of our civil liberties yet, but if we're not vigilant, they'll be going. And we've really, our Constitution has been destroyed, the environment's been destroyed, and the economy's been destroyed. What would you like to say to our outgoing president today?
Well, I have a personal beef with the outgoing president as well. As you may have heard, the Bush administration uses loud music to torture prisoners in Guantanamo Bay, and unfortunately,
I've heard it from prisoners who have been tortured by
music.
Yeah, and
unfortunately, there. You know, one of the acts on the playlist for the musical torture is Rage Against the Machine, and we've, through the years, have tried to, you know, sue the State Department, try to get them to stop doing it. It seems it's been an impossible task. So, I'm pleased to hear that. That President-elect Obama has at least made some rattlings about wanting to close down Guantanamo Bay, but I have a slightly different suggestion. I would suggest that while they should close Guantanamo Bay, that perhaps they should keep one small cell open. And after the War Crimes Tribunal, they
right.
should put George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, into that small cell, complete with the orange jumpsuits, black hoods, close the door, lock it, throw away the key, and crank Rage Against the Machine 24 hours a day.
As high as it'll go, huh?
That would be my suggestion.
Well, you know, I just got back from Cuba, and, you know, that's one of the things that we have been very active about is closing down Guantanamo Bay torture prison. And it's something that, like you said, Barack Obama has made some noise about, but we really have to keep moving. We can't give up. We can't just lay back and say, oh, a Democrat's president now, so we don't have to do our part. So, you know, this is what the soapbox is about, is encouraging people to still stay active.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that you have to keep in mind that, well, you know, I think there's good news and there's bad news. First of all, the good news is, for a country whose history is so scarred with racism and whose DNA, you know, a country whose DNA is so intermixed with violent racism,
right,
it is a huge step towards civilization for the United States of America to be able to elect a somewhat progressive African American in the highest office in the land. You know, on the other hand, I think we very much have to keep in mind that Democratic administrations, as well as Republican administrations, have been guilty of economic crimes at home and war crimes abroad, and that we need to be more, those of us who do believe in social justice issues, in peace, in workers, in immigrant rights, and a sane environmental policy, need to struggle and organize and use all of our collective, you know, intellect and creativity and might to continue to fight to shape this world and the kind of world that we'd like to live in and that we'd like our children to inherit.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And the trajectory of our country didn't start in 2000 when George Bush was elected.
That's right.
It has been happening. Like you said, our country is built upon the backs of black slaves, and now we're exploiting other brown workers because of mostly Bill Clinton's policy of free trade agreements and the encroaching globalization that really South Americans have been fighting since the United States has been a country. So it's not about Democrats or Republicans. It's really about human beings. And, you know, that's what my campaign was up here in San Francisco, and that's what we'll continue to do. And speaking of, you know, your music, we talked to, on our first show, we talked to Graham Nash. And you know the music of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, sometimes Young.
Yep.
They really, or sometimes just, you know, Graham and and David Crosby. They actually, I think, it defined the Vietnam era anti-war movement. And I've been to your concerts, and I've been to your concerts when you've been with Rage, and I've been to your concerts when you've been solo. And I think people are really, you know, dancing and headbanging to the music and to the beats. And I'm wondering if there's so much listening to the lyrics that are very, very revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly think that, you can't escape the message of Rage Against the Machine or the Night Watchman, you know, frankly.
Well, yeah, it's in your name.
I think it's important, too. I think that when art or music or any sort of culture can really make a difference, you know, in the lack, for lack of a better term, the political realm. First of all, it's got to be good.
Right.
You know, it can't be a dry college lecture. So,
right.
And that's one of the things I always thought with Rage Against the Machine, was it was a band that very much cast the nets wide, and many people were drawn to the band not because of the Zach's brilliant lyrics about, you know, the Zapatistas. They were drawn because it was a kick-ass rock and roll band, and then later they learned, you know, that was the spoonful of sugar that helped the medicine go down. You've seen the shows, and I think that there's a healthy dose of whether people are able to dissect every couplet or whether they get the general vibe of F you, I won't do what you tell me. I think that the message is pretty clear.
Well, that's exactly what I was telling Graham. You know, that's what we should be singing when we're in our marches or our rallies, instead of "We Shall Overcome."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because how long have they been singing that? And "We Shall Overcome" someday.
Exactly. I mean,
it's time to stand up to the power.
That's one of the reasons why I started doing, you know, solo stuff to begin with, and playing these Night Watchman shows. And I've played, you know, hundreds of shows for various, you know, benefits and union rallies and at the barricades and protests.
Right.
And it's because I think we need songs for now. I was always just, you know, from the time I was in college, it was like kind of the old threadbare anthems of the 60s and before.
Right.
Didn't really relate to, you know, when I'd be playing for striking, you know, grocery workers in a, you know, in a Vons parking lot here in Los Angeles, and, you know, somebody whips out an old, you know, an old Joe Hill song. Fantastic song. Some of the best songs ever written. But,
right.
But you know, if 2/3 of the people in the audience are, you know, recent immigrants from Guatemala.
Exactly. They don't have any reference point.
It doesn't hold water. So we need songs for now, and that's why the Night Watchman is here to serve.
Well, Tom, do you have one last thing you would like to say to George or Dick?
George or Dick. Well, I mean, I think that the important thing to remember is that while, you know, I think that Dick Cheney is particularly smells of brimstone, but
right.
The problems are systematic.
Absolutely.
They are not, the individual involved may be, you know, more or less ignorant or have a more or less of a malicious streak in them, but the problem is in the system, not in the people who are its stewards during any given administration. I think that's something that we really need to keep in mind, you know, especially during. So, you know, while I would be happy to turn up the volume of the Rage Against the Machine songs when that whole cast of criminals is, you know, is sharing the small cell in Guantanamo Bay. I think it's less about, you know, my, you know, dislike of the individuals, and more about continuing to hammer away at the system. Until
that's the thing that's going to change the system, is if people are held accountable for their crimes.
Nothing less is
going to change the system.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Tom, sweetie, thank you so much for being on the show. We hope to see you soon, and we hope that we can talk to you.
It is always a pleasure, and I believe that we are doing another justice tour in the spring, and there's going to be a San Francisco stop this time around.
Oh,
so
we'll be there.
Yeah,
we'll
cool.
be there. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Cindy. Bye.
Okay.
Now.
You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. This is Cindy Sheehan on Green 960. Stay tuned for our next guest, Roseanne Barr.
Some anniversaries aren't cause for celebration. January 11, 2009 marks the seventh year of gross human rights violations perpetrated by the U.S. government and military against foreign detainees being held illegally on U.S. soil. The United States detention facilities at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, have become emblematic of the gross human rights abuses perpetrated by the U.S. government in the name of fighting terrorism. At Guantanamo, the U.S. government sought to hold detainees in a place where neither U.S. nor international law applied. But no one can be held outside of the law. Detainees held at Guantanamo, Bagram, and elsewhere must either be charged with crimes and given fair trials or be released. Witness Against Torture announces a new chapter in the campaign to close the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, end torture and indefinite detention, and stop extraordinary rendition by the U.S. government. The 100 Days campaign brings together a coalition of groups and individuals who will take part in demonstrations, educate Congress and the public, and engage in nonviolent direct action. Join us in defending basic human rights. Hundreds of detainees are still being illegally held, many of whom have been cleared of all charges. Sign our online petition urging President-elect Barack Obama to take immediate action to close Guantanamo and end illegal U.S. detentions at www.cindysheehanssoapbox.com. Today we are standing up for their rights. Tomorrow it might be yours. For more information about the ongoing campaign to shut Guantanamo, visit 100dayscampaign.org and find out how you can make a difference.
He should be tried for murder, he and Cheney both. And I hope that Bugliosi and some of his cohorts will do that eventually. It still could happen. I don't think he's quit, and I think it may happen yet. With the help of people like Dennis Kucinich and Cindy Sheehan and those good people.
Hi, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. You're listening to Green 960, and I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Our next guest on our celebration, our Good Riddance to George Bush, our farewell celebration to the nation, is a person who needs no introduction. And that always cracks me up whenever I'm introduced. People say, oh, this is a person who needs no introduction, and then they introduce me for about 20 minutes. But I'm not going to do that today, except to say welcome to our dear friend, Roseanne Barr. Hi, Roseanne.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Well, you know, things are not looking too great in the world, of course, and we're still trying to work together to make the world a better place for our children and our grandchildren. But today, we both supported Cynthia McKinney for president. You did. I did. She has proven to be a courageous woman trying to take humanitarian supplies to Gaza. Her boat was rammed three times by the Israeli Navy. And, you know, she has boldly said what's going on in Gaza is wrong. And she had challenged Barack Obama to say something about it. Well, he has promised in 2 days when he's inaugurated that he will have plenty to say about the situation. I'm sure it's not going to be supportive of the Palestinian people with the people he surrounded himself with. But today we're not celebrating the incoming of a new administration because you and I both wanted somebody else to be sitting there in 2 days, but we're celebrating and saying good riddance to George Bush and Dick Cheney, the president that we all love to hate, who will go down in history as the worst president ever.
Of any country ever
for president. So what would you like to say to George Bush and Dick Cheney? Because I'm sure they're listening to the show.
Well, I just like to say, I'm glad you guys are done. And, hopefully in your lifetimes, you would be able to get some kind of idea of the damage and horror you unleashed on the world for no reason other than your own personal, monetary gain. And man, I just think, whoo, that's a heavy. They've got some heavy stuff. They have heavy stuff to deal with in there before they leave this planet.
Well, people say, well, they'll pay in the next life, or they have some karma debt they're going to have to pay off in future lives. But being somebody who has been personally affected by their regime, by burying my son Casey, I want them to see justice in this life. I want them to go to prison for war crimes.
Yes. I'm talking about this life. I'm not talking about a life after. I think that in the moment before each of us, not always, especially with psychopaths, they never have a moment of personal reckoning. And, I kind of think that both of those people have sociopathic personalities and may, in fact, never have a moment of personal reckoning. But if, in fact, they have any conscience at all, how can they not have to make some kind of a, how can they get away with not looking, and having self-reckoning? I mean, like I said, they may not, but if they do at all, that's going to be a tough one for them.
I saw an interview that Robert McNamara did before he passed away, and of course he was the Secretary of War for Johnson and Nixon, and he was actually sorry for what he did. He was in the army in Japan when we dropped the atomic bomb, so he's gone way back for war crimes, and he was sorry. But to be sorry before you die, I think is a good thing. But like they say, there's no atheists in foxholes. But however, we need to, I think, see some kind of public justice for an American president, so we won't have to be fighting these battles for our grandchildren.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. And even if it doesn't happen in America, maybe it will happen in The Hague or someplace bigger who actually has the high moral ground. They should be held, they should be held in judgment of that.
Well, on Barack Obama's website, like I mentioned to our earlier guest, Will Pitt, the number one concern of the people who go there is for Barack Obama to appoint a special prosecutor to check into the crimes of the Bush regime. And do you really think that's something that the Obama administration will be involved in?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look as though anybody on the inside, you know, it's like they want to sweep it under the rug and get on with it. But no, it doesn't look like we have any, you know, anybody with real, I mean, I shouldn't say real moral character, but isn't that what it is? It doesn't appear as if we have anybody like that representing us anywhere.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think when people get up to that high office, they've had to make so many sellouts and compromises that they aren't their own people. That they...
Well, you know, there's, I agree, there are so many filters they have to pass through, you know, like to be vetted. I mean, I love that they say that word, vetted, you know, like animal husbandry, but it kind of is like that, like, a, you know, getting vetted by a veterinarian to make sure you've got all your shots and that you're ready to assume that place that's already, you know, has nothing to do with you and that you really can't change and that you really can't transform, that you're just, you know, being vetted for. So, yeah, I just think that the, you know, I think that as long as there are voices of people who, you know, moral voices of people in our country, like yourself, Cindy, and like Cynthia, and like, you know, a lot of us older women.
Right.
as long as we can speak out and keep talking real truth to power, maybe there's a hope. But boy, it seems all uphill.
Well, you know, like we said, they make so many compromises, and they have to prove their credentials to the establishment, to the war machine, to AIPAC, which is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, to the Wall Street banksters. I mean, Barack Obama very flagrantly did that.
The people who own this country, they're not going to just give up. They don't want to give any power up. They own this country and the world, so, you know, they're not looking to share any power or money.
You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and we're listening to somebody who self-described as a domestic goddess, but I look at Roseanne as most like a peace goddess and a justice goddess. Now, what are you up to these days, Roseanne?
Well, I'm just continuing to blog at my blog, RoseanneWorld.com. I'm kind of just very committed to getting people of conscience to really see what that means and to really speak out against, you know, Gaza and atrocities and massacres. I mean, people who claim, you know, that they have some knowledge of a high moral ground, and I'm trying to appeal to them to say, maybe you don't indeed have the high moral ground, and you should, like, have some self-reflection and really look at what's going on. And, you know, just calling on people to, you know, actually look in their own backyard. And you know, like you said, Cindy, you know, it is about peace and justice, and it all begins at home, too, right in your own kitchen.
Let's talk a little bit about this. You know, you're Jewish, and you don't support what Israel's doing in Palestine or Gaza right now. How can we get around people saying, oh, you're anti-Semitic if you don't support the war crimes of Israel? How can we get around people telling us we're anti-American if we don't support the war crimes of the American government?
Well, I don't think we do get around it, but I think that when you say, I think anybody who takes a high moral ground, such as saying, you know, anyone who's calling somebody else a bigot is assuming they're covering themselves in the assumption that they have the high moral ground. But when you really look at fact, they don't. So, you know, right there, it's kind of irrelevant what they think to me. For somebody who supports the bombing of Gaza to tell me that I'm a self-hating Jew is like, that's awesome, man, because I am not for, you know, Jewish lemmings jumping off of, because I see that this whole position Israel has put itself in, there's no place for it to go. Israel must make peace to survive, and that's how I get around. Israel must make peace to survive and live in peace with its neighbors to survive. So I don't think that that's anti-Semitic or self-hating or anything. I think it's logic. And, people who play with words that mean the exact opposite of what they say, I don't care about them anymore. They don't make any sense, and they definitely have no – to defend the indefensible doesn't mean in any way that you have the higher moral ground. In fact, I think I do, and I claim it for myself and anybody who is against bombing innocent children right there. That's the moral ground, right?
Exactly.
Am I right, Cindy?
Oh, absolutely. And I think
so. I don't care what anybody says who wants to twist fact around.
Well, you know, and those labels and those name-calling, that name-calling is just used to marginalize somebody because they can't really say, oh, bombing schools, bombing UN schools is right. So we're going to call the person who's against that, we'll call them a name because we can't really defend our position. But peace is the existential imperative for Israel. And even for America, we are surrounded by water. You know, we're not really surrounded by enemies per se, but what's happened in these last 8 years of the Bush administration is they have totally made us an Orwellian world where war is peace, you know, lies are truth. And if you stick up for what should be American and humane principles of being against torture, of being against occupation, of being against murder, of being against, you know, breaking the law, that makes one anti-American. But those should be true American values. And
well, you know, absolutely, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that they still are. And I think that the vast majority of Americans still know what moral means and still know what right means and what wrong means. A lot of them don't. And, you know, they're severely compromised. Their morals are severely compromised. And, they should recuse themselves, as they say on Nancy Grace. They should excuse and recuse themselves from any moral discussions because they have no place in any of it. Anyone defending the indefensible just really is an immoral person.
Well, you know, and that's the thing about calling somebody who supports Palestinian rights anti-Semitic, because Palestinians are Semitic people. But, you know, how can we say that we're all down deep human beings, and every human being on this earth, whether they're American or Israeli or Iraqi or Palestinian, deserve the same basic human rights of security, prosperity, shelter, and freedom from having, you know, these bunker buster bombs dropping on your neighborhoods. And to say, oh, well, you know, in the 8 years of the Bush administration, we've only been attacked one time and he's kept us safe since 2001, that doesn't take into account the millions of people he's either killed or displaced in these wars of occupation. And we can't think that we're so arrogant that our children and our grandchildren are the only ones that deserve these things.
Well, like I said, I believe that people do have, you know, the majority of American people do know the difference between right and wrong, and are moral people, and, you know, keep trying to change their government. And, you know, the fact that the people who get in there are, you know, do not respond to the will of the American people, you know, that's something that we'll all have to change. But, you know, I think we all know what is right and what is wrong. And if we don't, then, you know, you should be out of the discussion and irrelevant to it. If you don't agree that dropping bombs on unarmed, starving people is wrong, then really you don't have anything to say. I mean, you really don't, in my opinion. You should be excused from that conversation of what's right, wrong, moral, or decent. You have, if you're going to take one breath to defend that, then I don't want to hear what you have to say, and neither does, you know, in the interest of anything moral or right, neither does anybody else.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Well, you know, and then they're just trying to take the moral high ground, and when in reality it's either political or economic power or gain that they're searching for, and they know that that's not moral, so they have to tell their constituents or their listeners or people that, you know, like I said, right is wrong, and wrong is right, and war is peace, and peace is war, and two plus two equals five, right?
Sure. It is Orwellian. We all know it's double talk, but you know, it's also lies. So, I mean, it's just lies.
Well, you have been a great supporter of of me and what I've done over the past couple of years, and you supported our campaign here in San Francisco, not only with monetary donations, but you came up to do a town hall meeting with us about media reform. And speaking about media reform, you do have your own show now in Los Angeles on KPFK. Would you like to tell our listeners about that?
Well, yeah, it's called Beneath the Surface from 5 to 6, you know, p.m. on Wednesday afternoon in Los Angeles from L.A., I think up through Santa Barbara. And you know, I am just speaking to the audience and, you know, trying to keep a voice of left, a left voice, left middle voice over the people's airwaves, because, you know, even right wing, as far as the airwaves go, even a right wing version, even right is too left for the people at the top. So, you know, I'm concerned about that. And the reason I have supported you, Cindy, is because I support the truth. And, you know, you're on the side of the truth, and that's, you know, I see you as a, you know, another person who supports truth and sees that there is truth and that you've got to be on its side.
Well, you too, sister. And it's been great to talk to you. Thank you for coming on the show, and I hope I can be on your show soon.
I want you. You know
great.
That.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for being on, and we'll talk to you soon. Hey, listeners, we're coming up on a very joyful occasion. We haven't had very many of those over the last 8 years. On January 20th, I'm not so excited about Obama being inaugurated, but what I am excited about is that George Bush will be finally getting out of our Oval Office, which he has been infesting for the last 8 years. Him and Dick Cheney are the most unpopular administration in U.S. history. I think in the history of presidents around the world, George Bush and Dick Cheney will definitely go down in infamy. We have been trying to get him out of office before now, but as he's finally leaving, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox will be celebrating, and we're calling it a farewell celebration for the nation. We're holding it Sunday, January 18th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Knapp's Bar at 3152 Mission. We're going to have games. We're going to celebrate and dance and sing and drink and toast the start of a new era that doesn't have George Bush and Dick Cheney. We'll have music. We'll have entertainment. We'll just have fun for once. So please join us. Go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com. For more information, I'll be there, I'll be celebrating, and I hope you join us.
It's a celebration.
As a former veteran, as a clergyman, a Catholic priest, a Franciscan, I'm very sorry to say that you have really led us into very terrible conditions. I believe that you were trying maybe to serve God, but I don't believe that you followed the way of God. And unfortunately, I believe that you turned his message around and you let the powers of darkness take over. There are so many that have died because of this and the wars. Maybe you should have listened to your dad.
Today's Are You Effing Kidding Me is, of course, related to our topic of bidding farewell to George Bush and Dick Cheney. And my final Are You Effing Kidding Me of the soiled Bush era, it is a little hard to narrow all of the Are You Effing Kidding Me moments of the last 8 years down to a 3 or 4 minute rant. There have been so many, from George's disproportionate and stupid response to 9/11 to his mission accomplished fiasco on the deck of the Abraham Lincoln just 6 weeks after shocking and awful, to the debacle of the economy. There are as many Are You Effing Kidding Me moments as there are bodies and limbs strewn over our consciousness and the killing fields of Iraq and Afghanistan. My entire life has been a soapbox rant against George Bush since my son was killed in Iraq in April of 2004. This led to the strangest month of my life in August 2005, when we literally camped in George's front yard using the soapbox of the media circus to scream, "Are you effing kidding me?" to the stains of occupation, torture, and the deaths of so many innocents. But this is not about that. Some people tell me, even today, that I have to respect George Bush and Dick Cheney because we have to respect the quote-unquote office, no matter who inhabits it. Well, to that I say, are you effing kidding me? First of all, in my book, a person must earn my respect by exhibiting integrity, courage, and compassion. To say that one has to respect an office that has been inhabited by a rogues gallery of scoundrels, with pitifully few exceptions, to me is a cop-out to not have to exercise our duties to keep our leaders accountable. When a house fortuitously fell out of the sky in Munchkinland and killed the wicked witch, no one chastised the Munchkins for singing, "Ding dong, the witch is dead," by saying, "Well, you may not have liked the wicked witch who oppressed and killed you, but you must respect her office." George Bush and Dick Cheney et al. Are liars, thieves, torturers, and murderers, and they must not be allowed to ride out of Dodge free and clear unless they are covered with tar and feathers. Many people are happy just to have George and Dick go, but those are people who have not lost a dear son to their crimes. We will continue to use our soapbox to cry out for justice and accountability for the souls of our loved ones. The example I gave from Oz is fictional, but so is the idea that the occupant of the Oval Office deserves respect just because he knows how to sit in a chair is fictional also. Our Ask Cindy question today isn't so much a question as a comment from Mr. Eli Frank from right here in beautiful San Francisco. Mr. Frank writes, "I can't support the soapbox. I note that one speaker will be Greta Berlin." Greta was on last week's show. "Do you know what her own stepdaughter thinks of her views? I note that you do not give voice to the other side, and there are always two sides to every story." Well, Eli, first of all, many of my ex-in-laws don't support what I do. They still support George Bush and the war. But I don't understand the relevancy of your first point about Miss Berlin. I think that's a case between she and her stepdaughter. Do stepdaughters often agree with their stepmothers, or is that another question to be asked? Secondly, to say that we never present the other side is a little absurd, since you sent this email after our first show. The other side of the Israel-Gaza question, or the Israel-Palestinian question, however, is permeated with support and one-sided coverage for Israel, from the corporate media sellouts to our congressional sellouts. Someone has to present the side of the babies that are being slaughtered and tell the truth about the schools that are being obliterated in Gaza. But Mr. Frank, please feel free to submit a soapbox rant to us, and if it meets our standards, we will happily air it. And that is a reminder to all of you that you can submit your soapbox rants to Cindy Sheehan's soapbox. You can submit them to Tiffany at cindysheehansoapbox.com. You can submit questions for me to Cindy at cindysheehansoapbox.com. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to our very special Cindy Sheehan Soapbox today, our farewell celebration to the nation. I'd like to thank my wonderful guests. I'd like to thank my producers, Tiffany Burns and Dee Dee Miller. Please don't forget to send me an email about your comments and questions to Cindy at cindysheehansoapbox.com. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Always speaking truth to power. Peace out.